Welcome in to the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now you can use code DNVR at sign up and get some special offers like how a $5 bet gets you $150 in free bets when you pick any winner in this year's NBA playoffs. Thanks for joining us after this very rocky road trip. I'm Susie Hunter along with DNVR's ultimate utility guy, Brendan Vogt. How you doing?
I'm good, Susie. How are you? Getting used to this Rocky program here. Happy to be back.
We need to get you some more Rocky stuff for your home studio.
I know. Oh, by the way, I should mention this Athletic shirt. It's a Stephen Vogt jersey. That's the only reason I'm rocking Athletics. I don't get to see VOGT in the majors very often, so I had to pick this one up.
Oh, I like that. Any relation?
No. None at all. None whatsoever. But I still cheer really loudly when he gets a hit. So,
yeah. Okay. So we got to make sure we get you more Rocky stuff, more, just more of all of that. But yeah, definitely a rough road trip for sure. Just like first initial thoughts coming out of this game today, Brendan.
I'm really glad the road trip's over. Can I lead with that? That road trip went about exactly how we hoped it wouldn't. Some of the pitching luck from the back end starters ran out a little bit. Those bats starting to dry up. Really missing Chris Bryant, CJ Cron coming back to earth. You go down the whole list of things. Very few of them are fun. But that road trip was a real bump in the road. It just took a lot of the wind out of their sails, I think, to switch metaphors from land to sea immediately. But it was a tough one. These results, you look at them, they don't look great, but you can pick a couple different moments throughout these games where they could have gone so differently and the Rockies just couldn't convert. So really ready to see this team back at Coors.
We need to cleanse the palate for sure. We will talk about a bright spot with our DraftKings King of the Game, who did some great stuff for us, Jonathan Daza. He went 5-for-11 with 2 RBI this series. He's on a 5-game hit streak right now, an 8-game on base streak, and he had a double and a triple in this trip too. That triple yesterday was awesome. We're recording this on Wednesday, so Tuesday's triple was just phenomenal. Love to see that. What are you thinking about Jonathan Daza right now?
He's really fun to watch. He's one of my favorite players on this team. I love his approach. Obviously, you and I got to learn and talk about his story recently, which I didn't know much about. Being, you know, the first guy to play baseball from his family, let alone make it to the majors. He's been great. What's that average up to now? I think it is 367. So yeah, that's definitely your bright spot of the series. He's one of the guys right now where, I mean, look, if the Rockies have two guys on, one out, two outs, at this point, you're hoping Daza's up. He's definitely in that club.
Yeah, for sure. Another bright spot in this road trip, Connor Joe now has a 7-game hit streak, and I'm happy to see him have another streak because he got up to 12 games earlier this season. Connor Joe, he's back.
This guy can hit. Like in the beginning, it maybe looked, you know, like one of those classic, just hot starts, overperforming kind of hot starts. Baseball has those guys, right, that just kind of get going. They make for fun stories. But it looks like he can really, really hit, carries himself well at the plate. He had a rough decision today, not necessarily an error, not necessarily a poor decision, but a consequential one that we'll talk about later in the show. He was playing at first there. But yeah, this guy can swing the bat. And I don't know how many times I can say it. Connor Joe, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Connor Joe's nickname right now is everyone's favorite Rocky, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's apt. He's good enough. And then he also has a mullet, so that's cool. So I think how can you not root for a guy like that? He has all of the ingredients of a sort of cult fan favorite for sure.
He's got all the ingredients. So speaking of cool, let's talk about Chad Kuhl. This is his first loss of the season. He's now 3-1, but 4 2/3 inning pitched, 7 hits, 5 runs. All 5 of those were earned. 8 strikeouts, though. What did you think of this outing from Chad Kuhl?
Baseball can be cruel, Susie. I thought this was really close to a very good outing from Chad Kuhl, who strike heavy approach was not sort of, he was not dabbling around the corners today. He was going right at guys, gotten himself into some early trouble twice early in the game and pitched his way out of it with the strikeout. He really had the slider working today. Nasty put away pitch for him. He had a lot of things working for him. If you get into trouble three times in a row, eventually it's going to come back to bite you. That fourth inning, I think a walk and a single to start the inning, gets to runners on the corners, no outs, and there's a double play ball to Connor Joe. He decides to throw home, doesn't quite have the throwing lane, throws a little high. Rockies not only give up a run, but they don't get any outs on a play where they could have had two. You see this inning gets extended. Cool, who was in a great place with pitch count, really has to work even harder. It ends up being 2-3 runs, actually, that come across in the inning when it probably could have been one. And then, of course, the fifth where he's chased by that home run, just one pitch away from getting out of that inning. And as you were talking about in the Slack, Susie, the wind was pretty unfortunate as well. So he walks away from this 5 innings, 5 earned runs. It's a start he wants back. It's really, really close to a quality outing. And in the end, it's not.
Yeah, there were a couple of instances in this game early on where we had runners on base and Chad Kuhl got out of it. And then it all just kind of went downhill in the fourth inning. But I liked my joke in the Slack. I was like, nope, the wind was not a cool breeze for Chad Kuhl. It was pretty brutal for him. Pretty brutal for everyone who wasn't a San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, it was. I was very jealous of Patrick today because he was sending us clips. Beautiful day by the Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just a perfect baseball day. These fans are not a huge crowd because they've got the Warriors going on playoffs tonight. But
oh, how nice for them.
Yeah, I know, right? And then they just get to watch their baseball team. Virtually every ball break bounces their way today. Ugh. Congratulations, San Francisco. You can have nice things, I guess.
Them. Speaking of Patrick, though, Patrick will be joining us live via satellite. He is probably chatting with Bud Black right now after this tough road trip. But another difficult thing to watch, Ryan McMahon now has 6 errors. What is going on here?
Yeah, the defense as a whole, I think the last couple of weeks, Susie, has been a little, not tight, loose is actually the word I'm looking for it. Just whether it's an error or something less direct like that Connor Joe decision we were just talking about, or the troubles at third, the actual errors themselves. The Rockies are not catching a lot of breaks right now, but they're not helping themselves out. And, San Francisco also today was really able to put some productive at-bats together. So even when they were generating outs, the Rockies, San Francisco's moving bases, putting guys in scoring position. You combine those with some errors, some poor decisions in the field, and a game that maybe could have been close late, gettable late, ends up being a blowout.
Yeah, an absolute blowout. It was tough. One thing that I did think was funny that came out of this pregame, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Brendan, but Gabe Kapler has started a new debate, kind of akin to, is a hot dog a sandwich? Like that kind of thing. Is a beard also a mustache? He was posing the question, if you have a beard, do you also have a mustache? And now this is what we are talking about now, because Gabe Kapler is an interesting dude.
Okay, well, let's get into this one. I think this is an easy no. I think like if a mustache is a mustache, and what makes it a mustache is the particular styling, the lack of a beard. Kale, you grow facial hair much more easily than I do. Please chime in.
As a former mustache man, I have to agree with Brennan. I felt very strongly when I had a mustache, it was a mustache. And people with beards have beards.
I agree. Two separate choices altogether, I think.
So Gabe's argument in this interview, this was like in their pregame scrum. His argument was that if you go to the barbershop and they're trimming up your facial hair, when it comes to the mustache, they'll be like, oh, do you want us to keep the mustache longer? Like asking questions like that. Again, I don't have facial hair like that. So
you would still describe the part of that beard as a mustache, but like it's not a mustache. Mm-hmm. I get what he's saying because like there's no other way to describe like what are you going to say, the hair on your upper lip? No, but it's
too wordy.
It's it's too, there is a distinct choice you're making between a beard and a mustache when you're choosing your facial hair styling.
Thank you for weighing in, gentlemen. I'm just glad that we're getting into this. Thank you, Kale. Super producer Kale. He's got producing skills. He's got opinions.
He does. Kale is a superstar. We've got a chat here from Enigma the Gray Man, who is angry, exclamation point. Can't blame you there. He says, if I'm a player on that plane back to Denver, that two-hour flight would seem like 18 hours. Ooh. And, I mean, look, I don't think anyone expected this road trip to necessarily go in Colorado's favor, but definitely a missed opportunity. They only get one on the road trip. And then I think the game that bugs me the most is game one of this series with San Francisco, San Francisco's best starter on the mound. And the Rockies give themselves a chance to win that game. Would have felt like an awesome one to steal, and then they don't get it. But I hear Enigma, the hot start to the season, it's all but evaporated already, 16-15 after the road trip. And of course, playing in this division, you just can't have any nice things. 16-15, that's good for last place. Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, this is such an interesting division. Everyone in the NL West is above 500. But unfortunately, the Rockies are back in the basement of this division. So heading into this road trip, the Rockies were tied for third with the Giants. And now we are in last place. So that hurts. That hurts.
It didn't take long. So, yeah, very, very happy to get back at Coors. We'll talk about this later in the show, but at least they do have a get right series, at least, or you could look at it that way, prime for them upon their return. But definitely, it did not take long to lose that ground.
Yeah. So let's dive into what this series looked like. All three starters gave up 5 earned runs. The story of this series, the story of the Arizona series, we faced some good pitching, and this was just a rough trip, but even our starters were not on their A game.
Yeah, and, you know, as talk about unsustainable starts to the season, the Rockies were getting most of their contributions from starting pitching from the back end of the rotation, and cool, and coming in today, far and away your best pitcher, you don't usually want that to be the fifth guy in your rotation, although you'll take it, but you need more from Marquez. At least Freeland is trending in the right direction, it would seem. It's when the top two guys don't look like top two guys, you know, you can't like, cool was almost great today, but thin margins, just like that, it's a poor start, and you can't be relying on your fifth starter to be your ace. So they're going to need more from Marquez. Hopefully Freeland continues to trend in the right direction, but starting pitching, I mean, I do think this pitching staff as a whole is going to be something that's touch and go, if not, you know, straight up poor and struggling throughout the season. So hopefully the top end can get something going here.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, on the other end, the Rockies, through this whole six-game road trip, not a single home run. This is only the third time ever this has happened.
Wow.
The last time this happened was the summer of 2014 and August 2010. Not a single home run out of the Rockies this whole time we were out of town.
Yeah, well, it sure felt that way. So that jives with the old eye test. Yeah, that's crazy, though. I mean, the bats dried up in a big way. CJ, we talked about maybe being worried about that hot start cooling off. That seemed to manifest, unfortunately. So power bats are dry. Come on back, Chris, whenever you'd like, whenever you can. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
But Susie, we got to let the people know that whether they're fans of the Rockies, the Avs, or the Nuggets, you can still watch your favorite local sports teams thanks to Avaca TV, which includes services like Altitude Sports and AT&T Sportsnet. Your diehards, your lifelong Coloradans, your taxpayers, this is your right to enjoy these teams, and you can do it now thanks to Avaca TV. Use evaca.tv/DNVR and use promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months, plus the receiver. No contracts, no hidden TVs. Evaca TV, it gets the people going. It gets the Colorado sports teams on your TV. And Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. So many beers, so many seltzers you could try, but have you heard about the Avalanche Amber Ale? I'm assuming you have one of their flagship beers, really the first Breckenridge Brew product I was familiar with. And they've got a sweet promotion going on right now. What is better than the Avs scoring two goals in the first period, Susie? How about two goals plus a free beer? On game days, start your Avs game with an Avalanche Amber Ale at any bar, although we recommend doing at the DNVR bar. Save that receipt. If the Avs score two or more goals in the first period, BreckBrew is going to pay for your beer via rebate. Just upload your receipt on breckbrew.com. Whether you're getting the Avalanche, a seltzer, the Mile High City Cup, or lager, check out the Breck Beer Locator. It'll tell you where to go, where to find your favorite Breck Brew, and you can support them because that's one of the best ways to support us here at DNVR.
That's a great deal.
It's an awesome deal.
It's just fun too.
Yeah, it's like it almost feels like sports gambling, just like throwing $5 on something. You're like, I'm here. I hope they win anyway. And if they do, I get a nice little treat. Who doesn't like treats?
I love a treat.
I love treats.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the Avs. They're good.
They are good. Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, not to be bitter, because we're all in the same house and I'm happy for everyone. The first two Nuggets playoff games at the bar, they went very differently, Susie, than those first two Avs games. The Avs are so good. But,
the Avs watch parties have been lit. But, you know, we're going to have Rockies watch parties, too,
coming up.
And they will be lit no matter what.
That's right.
So keep an eye out for those because they're going to happen.
We want to see you at the bar for these Rockies games. We are committed, like any other Colorado sport. If it's a game day, we have those games on. We've got game sound on. We want to see you guys. It's the summer. Come on in, talk baseball with us, watch baseball with us, hang with us. We're a good time. Susie's a good time. I can at least vouch for that.
Yeah, thank you. You're a good time. We're all a good time.
All right, that's how
we end up here. We're just a big, fun cluster. All right, I think we're waiting on Patrick. I think I heard a rumor that he's going to be joining in soon.
I think he's here. Look at that.
Oh my gosh. Fingerless gloves, a scarf, a hat. It's also like 90 degrees here in Denver. Patrick Lyons, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than the Rockies. I've had my own personal victories. At least one more than the Colorado Rockies, who have none after the three-game sweep at the hands of the Gigantes. San Francisco takes it here at home, all three starting pitchers giving up five earned runs, one that they definitely want to flush from the record just in time for them to come back at Coors Field. 9 home games in 10 days. Let's never speak of this as well. San Francisco and Philadelphia, never speak of it again until they come back here again in a month.
Patrick, I've got a question for you because I can't tell. What temperature is it out where you are?
That's a great question. It's not as cold as I probably look. I'm big on the layers. It might be 60.
Okay.
Might be 60, but that breeze is an MF. Not having a great hair day. So that's I'm taking an L on that one. Mustache hair is good, or beard hair. I don't know. I guess technically this is a beard. I did listen to some of the first segment. So beard is on point. Hair, not as much. 60 degrees, I'm getting a sunburn as well as a windburn, multitasking in San Francisco.
It's the fingerless gloves that really threw me off. That was the fun.
Look, I had to pick up a shift at the Fisherman's Wharf. The flight, they tried to boot me. And then if I wanted to get back by midnight, which I will not be doing, I needed to pay for a seat upgrade. So I pulled the shift and it was fine.
Fantastic. All right. So you mentioned you're having a bad hair day. Does this have anything to do with Daniel Bard maybe bullying you or teasing you a little bit on this road trip?
I mean, maybe. He didn't hair shame me. No, but I had my hair down, and I guess I haven't done that at the ballpark. It'll be down when I arrive at Coors, and then I'll put it up. And he kind of made a beeline to me after Monday's workout, and he goes, "Blake, workaholics." I go, "Yeah, good call. I don't know. I'll have to get a graphic at some point, or maybe tomorrow's show. I'll just leave it down."
Yeah.
And then like 35 minutes later, he's walking at the same time as Dom Nunez, who's trying to get in the zone for BP. And he's like, "Dom, Blake, workaholics." So But he complimented me on my hat a couple weeks ago. So you know what? It's actually all good.
Daniel Bard is becoming like quickly one of the people that I'm most fascinated with. But I'm glad that he made such a point to tell you about your lookalike, because I know we want to do a bigger lookalike segment at some point.
Yeah, no, he nailed me. I think my hair's gone too long where Eric Stoltz from Pulp Fiction, you know, is not the best comp anymore. It could be Blake Anderson from Workaholics.
Take it. I like it. But all right. So I also know that you have an important update on Brendan Rodgers, because I asked you, you're such a good teammate, Patrick. I asked you to ask him how the hotel beds are here in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, when you take a $5,000 trip out to San Francisco, you got to hit those hard-hitting questions. So I did. I got it out of the way early, and I've just kind of been hanging out for 2 days. But yeah, breaking news. Let's get the graphic going. Breaking news, Brendan Rodgers got a new pillow, and he takes it with him on the road. Back to you, Susie.
Thank you. Thank you for that valuable update, Patrick.
He's sleeping better. He's sleeping better, which is important. We didn't see him the last 2 days, though. So I don't know how good that was. Hampson was in at second base. Randall Grichuk not feeling well, under the weather the last 2 days. So that also doesn't help. Chris Bryant, we'll wait to see when he gets back into the lineup. So I think the Rockies have been relatively lucky, generally speaking, as far as the injuries go, compared with a lot of other teams. That's been a benefit. But I think as of late, those little nagging injuries have added up. And I think we've started to see its impact on the road.
Is Grichuk expected to be back upon return? I mean, just an illness, right? You said.
Yeah, it seems fine. He was still like walking around, you know, the clubhouse with his bifocals on, you know, looking sharp with those bad boys. But so no COVID or anything like that. He just maybe flu-like symptoms. So we'll kind of wait and see and get more of an update. They do have an off day on Thursday. I believe we're going at noon with Drew Goodman. So we'll talk a little bit more about what we want to forget from this week, what we want to flush from our system, maybe preview the Royal Series coming up ahead.
Well, hopefully Grichuk didn't do something crazy like try to eat 25 crab cake sandwiches in the clubhouse.
No, can't confirm or deny if trainer Mike Jasperson, you know, did anything like that, or if it was 26. No, I have no idea if they did that. But there should be something in every city for people to consume as a challenge. I don't know why the Rockies don't have that with Rocky Mountain oysters, which is a delicacy. The Rocky Mountain Oyster Council of Colorado definitely needs to give us a couple bucks here for sponsorship, as that is now 2 days in a row. We have referenced Rocky Mountain oysters, but
I don't know what two days in a row. Yep. All right. So speaking of food, so the Rockies have started doing something on Twitter that I'm getting such a kick out of that I need us to talk about. They have launched the Snackcast, where they are rating ballpark foods. They got to a couple of them in San Francisco. But before we talk about what they are doing, Patrick, what have you eaten in San Francisco that is worth noting? Because you did finally tweet us a picture of the helmet nachos.
I did. You know, when I'm in Rome, I try to eat as the Romans. So I got a little Dungeness crab in a salad. Went to with good buddy of the pod, Kevin Henry of Rocks Pile. Well, we went to Tadich Grill, the oldest continuous restaurant in all of California. So I had a big Dungeness crab salad and New England clam chowder. That was fantastic. Somewhat of a delicatessen that I think you might only be able to find it at one coffee place, but it's called the Snowy Plover. Love it because it's a bird reference. And it's some kind of like seltzer coffee with cream in it. And it was delicious. I had two of them this morning before I had a bite to eat of any real food. So that kind of lets you know what's going on with my morning with a lack of rest. But it is delicious. Once you get over the nasty taste of it the first time, it actually is very delicious.
Once you get over the part where it's not very good, it's delicious.
Yeah. So you know. Yeah. No, that was very good here at the stadium. Helmet fries was good. I didn't hate myself as much as I thought afterwards. So maybe it's smaller helmet, perhaps, not sure. Did have the Gilroy's garlic fries, which was fantastic because my wife did not joined me on this trip, so we didn't have to worry about any canoodling with the garlic breath there, as it were. I think that pretty much covers it. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the garlic fries. Those were one of my favorite treats on my ballpark road trip last year. I love garlic, and I also don't have a sense of smell, so I can't even tell when I smell like garlic.
I don't have a sense of smell either. Look at that. Smellless buddies. That's fun.
Yeah, mine's not COVID related, though. This has been my thing for like the past 15 years.
Me too.
I was doing it before it was cool. We're going to chat about this more later.
Yeah, we'll talk off
but
there.
I liked the Rockies snack cast. So they rated the garlic fries. They gave them a 7 out of 10 for flavor and 8 out of 10 for the setting. They added breath, vampires beware. So overall, that got a 7.29 on the snack cast scale. And then they rated the sundae. This was their highest rated item. So there's a hot fudge Ghirardelli sundae. They gave the ice cream itself a 5 out of 10, which was controversial to some people on social media. They gave the hot fudge a 12 out of 10 and said that they would drink it by the gallon. Overall, 8.15 out of 10. So that was one of the best things. Patrick, you didn't get to try the Ghirardelli sundae?
I thought about it today. I was pretty stuffed. They have, you know, breakfast at the ballpark up in the press cafeteria. So I kind of loaded up on that. Did have a donut, had an old fashioned donut. I typically stay away from the sweets in general. So that was probably the one box I didn't check off was getting a Ghirardelli sundae. But on cold days like today, I feel like this would kind of the environment where you get ice cream. Thinks of ice cream as a summer treat, but sometimes when it's cold out.
Ooh, he's breaking up a little bit. All right.
We lost him. I can't get over the way he looks, Susie.
I am cracking up that he's so bundled up for 60 degrees, but I guess the wind must be something else. I want to add one more thing that I ate at Oracle Park. I guess not ate, a drink that I had. There's a boba stand at Oracle Park.
Ooh.
And it was really good. It was so cute. I was like, I can't believe I'm drinking boba. It was adorable.
Enigma says the ballpark tour. Oh, he's back.
Hello, Patrick.
I moved down a couple rows, so now you have a slightly different vantage point. Now the scoreboard is over my left shoulder, so it looks like I moved around, but I really did not.
Nice.
All right. Well, critical welcome update. Back. Welcome yeah. back.
I've always said beat guys are the foundation of sports media, so I'm glad we've got you on the ground to keep us updated.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, you can hear us. We've got Patrick.
Okay. I guess, yeah. So the weather looks like it's been good. Clearly not good enough for you to eat ice cream or not wear a scarf and a hat. Is there anything that you got to do or didn't get to do worth noting during this road trip?
No, not really. Pretty good. I don't think I even set my eyes on the Golden Gate Bridge. We were close, you know, over on Twitter. The folks spoke up and said, you know what, Patrick, you got to get out to Alcatraz. So I got as close as I could on Fisherman's Wharf. Really clear skies for these 3 days. Not a lot of fog, if at all. So really great visibility in general. So I got to see Alcatraz, but didn't get a chance to see Golden Gate Bridge. You know, I kind of am here to be covering baseball games. So you do have to prioritize things just a little bit. Did get a little bit of birding in, which was nice. Saw some brown pelicans doing their thing, diving into the water. Saw a night heron. It was great. I mean, I'm right by the marina and a pier. So I got a little birding in while doing my run and listening to baseball podcasts. I'm doing 3 or 4 things at once. That's what I like to do.
You're always doing 3 or 4 things at once. That's hilarious. Sorry, Brendan, I cut you off.
No, you're good. I'm on a show with both of the birders at DNVR. So I simply cannot escape this. But I do got to let the people know real quick, whether you're birding, you're watching baseball, however you spend your time recreationally in Colorado, you can also go to Lightshade and up your recreation time. We want to tell you about those WANA Optimal Fast Asleep products if you need to catch up on some shut-eye after the big game. No matter when you take Wana products, this well-rounded recipe will leave you feeling rested and refreshed in the morning. Over-the-counter pharmaceuticals knock you out with powerful drugs that leave you in a fog. That's not what Wana Optimal Fast Asleep Gummies do, though. Where can you find them? You can find them at Lightshade. Where do you find Lightshade? Well, they've got 11 convenient Denver Metro and Aurora locations, including their new Barnum location, which is open. It's huge. It's got their biggest selection of products yet. And here's the best part. Whether you're at the Barnum location, any of the 11 locations, our podcast listeners can get 25% off non-sale items at Lightshade with code DNVR. That's DNVR at Lightshade for 25% off. Not once, not twice, but every single time you go in, that's one of the better deals we offer. So if Lightshade appeals to you, get in there and let them know we sent you. And we're back.
Let them know.
Get in there.
Anything else yet? Oh, wait, Patrick, you saw kind of a baseball celeb at the park today, did you not?
Yes, actually. Went down to watch some of Herman Marquez's bullpen session, and lo and behold, Zach Campbell was there. So I go, oh, all right. Zach, Brendan, do you know Zach? Do you know that person?
I am aware of the person by name, indeed.
That's impressive, because I think by name, a lot of people might not, but then when they see him, do a quick Goog, you find out pretty quickly, oh, that guy, he's nice. He does give away a lot more baseballs to kids than you probably realize. He does have a bad reputation.
Yeah.
Maybe some of it earned, maybe some of it not. I like him. He was very nice. We had a good time talking. No plans to come out to Colorado just yet. It'd be cool to have him down at the bar. Again, we all know this. People say, oh, tell me a little bit about your outfit. And not the fingerless gloves or the cap and the scarf in the blazing sun in 60-degree weather. But the outfit as far as the media outfit and what's going on over at Denver. No, it's DNVR. We got one in Phoenix and Chicago. We also have a bar. What? Yeah, there's a studio upstairs. It's a whole big thing. So we'll see if we can get Zach to come out, because he does a lot more, way more good for baseball than anything else. He really doesn't do anything bad. If you're at a game and he's there, yeah, maybe he's going to grab a ball that's coming right at you. He's a little more aggressive in that capacity, but you know, you could certainly do the same thing for anyone else. So he's putting the game out there on blast. He loves the sport. He loves reaching out, helping out, signing autographs for kids too. They do look up to him. So it would be pretty cool to have him out if he comes out to Colorado this summer. And, you know, he usually travels just about everywhere. So
it was
he's
so
the
funny.
Brendan Vogt of his generation.
Oh my gosh. you messaged me earlier in the day. You were like, don't be alarmed if Zach Campbell slides into our DMs. I'm like, are we expecting him? Because I didn't know that you guys had met yet. But yeah, that's awesome that you got to see him. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice guy. And he was there. He was his own videographer for the day and was going around. I think he was trying to get Jock Peterson's autograph on a ball. It was like his 900th home run ball that he caught or something absurd like that, because dude goes to a lot of games, you know? So he was cool. That was neat.
That's wild. Did you get to go down the giant slide, the Coca-Cola bottle?
No, I scaled it from the outside, but could not find an entry point at the top of the bottle. So no, I did not. I did not, unfortunately. It's for kids. I think you got to be... gotta be 14 and under. And the mustache is the giveaway. Kids now, 14-year-olds do have soul patches now, but not mustaches. So
that's
mustaches
upsetting.
Slash beards.
Yeah, that's 14 teenagers with soul patches is nightmare fuel, actually. But
no, I don't like it. This does not have my blessing.
You don't remember the old New Orleans baby cake logo? I'm pretty sure there was a soul patch on one of those babies. could be mistaken.
I try to not think about that logo ever.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's connected with Denver and the Denver Zephyrs, New Orleans Zephyrs, New Orleans Baby Cakes.
I guess so. That's a good point. I didn't really put that together. The Zephyrs were before my time.
I got a spreadsheet. I'll share it with you.
Of course you do. Patrick Lyons has a spreadsheet for everything. Have you been, Patrick, have you been following while you're, because I know you love to do a lot of things, have you been following the minor leagues, our farm teams at all while you are on this trip?
Yeah, that's one thing that is consistent no matter, you know, what press box you're in. People are curious about the prospects. You know, all of us that cover the Rockies, I mean, you're there too, seeing it where, you know, there are those guys that you keep an eye on. And, you know, there are players that get overlooked that if they have a huge game, it's like, all right, yeah, guys have big games. There's a lot in the minor leagues, you know, 140 plus. But those names like the Ezekiel Tovars and, you know, Michael Tolia hit one out of Dunkin' Donuts Park the other day. Like those names are the ones that get some buzz and some, you know, conversation around it. Talk with someone that in their opinion, differing opinions I have, but even went out there on a limb and said, maybe Zach Veen could be in AAA by the end of the year. I think that might be a little aggressive. But, you know, we've started to see the Rockies operate things a little bit differently than normal, than in the past. And so I think you could start to see guys moving up a little bit earlier than in the past. They have a lot more seasoning to do. And as great as a player might be at a AA or a AAA, particularly Ezekiel Tovar, as great as he is, you know, there are differences once you move up that ladder and you have to be that much more sharp. And so, you know, I think as well as Tovar has been playing, if he gets called up at the halfway point, you know, at the AA, AAA All-Star break to go to Albuquerque and play with the Isotopes, even that I think is a little more aggressive than what we've seen in the past from the Rockies and even some other teams. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I would like for them to challenge that 20-year-old, because I think he's going to rise to that challenge and possibly be the youngest position player in team history. I don't think they've had anyone at age 21 or younger ever suit up for them as a position player. I think they had one pitcher, Marcos Carvajal. Again, got to consult the spreadsheet I made up on that. But he would be the youngest, and he still has some time to do that, to make the Rockies and be the youngest.
Yeah, Tovar had a great game on Tuesday. So he went 2-for-5. He had a 6th home run of this season. He's leading the Eastern League in batting average, hits, and total bases. And he was the Eastern League Player of the Month. And also another Player of the Month. Drew Romo was Player of the Month for the Northwest League. So we've just got like these little shining stars waiting to find their way up.
Romo is someone you have to be a little more patient with catchers. It's it's another level that of abilities that they've got to work on. They're receiving, again, anything you get offensively is a bonus. I mean, you look at what Dom Nunez right now is doing at the plate. You might be a little frustrated by it, but there are other guys on the Rockies roster right now kind of in a similar boat, but it's the defense that is going to get a catcher up to the majors and is going to keep them there. So, you know, that's the offensive numbers have been great for Romo, but he might need to do some more to clean up a couple things down there behind the plate. He is more of a defensive first catcher than offense. So his promotion, you know, it might take a little bit longer. He may stay there for the full year, and you understand why. But Tovar, also great defensively, you know, we could see the Eastern League Player of the Month for April get called up a little bit sooner. Buddy even talked about him last week at the stadium. You know, he was a player that played a lot early on in spring training. Again, because of the lockout, you had, you know, the big leaguers weren't ready to play that first week once the game started. So Buddy got a really up close and personal look at Tovar. And they are very intrigued. So I'm intrigued, and I'm really excited to see him. Brendan, are you a big prospect hound yourself?
Yeah, but I'm slow to, you know, my Rockies prospect knowledge, not exactly a deep well. But I will listen. I'm here to learn. I'm be reading Patrick, and I'm going to be catching up on the farm system. But that's exciting. I can't imagine in this year, Patrick. I mean, we'll see how things go. But there may not be a whole lot of urgency to rush guys up, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to feel like they're a call up or two away from accomplishing any one thing, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's another one of the elements of everything. You want to set up players for success. And if the story around the team is, hey, they're struggling, hey, they're 1-5 on the road, their big head start that they got in the first couple of weeks, you know, you now lost that. You're one game over .500. Right. So once that has shrunk away, you know, that's the conversation. And now you're saying, hey, 20-year-old kid, 21, 22, whatever it may be, you're the savior. Can you carry this entire team? You know, no one's really legitimately thinking that, but that does become the story to an extent. So you don't want that to happen. Again, at AAA, Elijah Montero really is the only guy right now that you'd, you know, want to call up and put in a position, because you look up and down those rosters, those guys aren't on the 40 man. That's another element too, is that you got to create room. You could lose players. So there is a logistical element to that, but you know, you're right. If a player's not going to get regular playing time, and if you're not able to stick through maybe some of those growing pains, then it's probably not the right time. And Rocky season is far from over. They're still in this thing. So you don't want to put a rookie out there and go through those growing pains. You need to set them up for that kind of success. And this may not be the right situation for a guy like Tovar, maybe Montero, in the next week or so. We'll see.
Well, Susie, I don't want to step on your toes, but I had a question for Patrick. So if it's okay to shift gears a little bit.
As we
just talked about, didn't take long to lose the momentum behind that decent or hot start. This road trip did not go as planned. Do you have a thing that's kind of sitting atop your concern list right now heading back home? Do you have a thing or two that if you could see them get right at Coors, you know, and you could see those two things go well, you know, what might they be?
That's a great question. I think the defense really needs to be a bit sharper. That's been something that's been plaguing them. You know, overall, the offense has been good, you know, not great. They are going to have the Coors hangover when they're on the road. That's just, you just have to accept that. But the starting pitching is what's going to keep them in games. And the defense aids and assists that starting pitching. And I'm not sure if you talked about it at all. You and I, the three of us, obviously were talking about it in the Slack. The big first inning where they got three runs off of Chad Kuhl. I think that might have been the third inning. But you had the play with Connor Joe at first base. Crawford kind of in his throwing lane, but Crawford was in his running lane. So he had the right to do that. You throw home, runner safe, and because that extends the inning rather than getting the double play, and two more runs end up scoring. So instead of having potentially a 1-0 game, it's 3-0. And so there are those kind of things to clean up. Ryan McMahon, I believe, made his sixth error already. So sounds crazy to say. May literally be out of contention for the Gold Glove Award at this point. It's going to have to do some pretty amazing things to really convince voters otherwise that, you know, maybe last year was just a good year from the metrics. He's going to have to do a lot to make up for that. There's still plenty of season left for him to do that. And I certainly wouldn't discount him, but that's one of the things I think that gets cleaned up, keeps them in the games a little bit longer. And then when you see them surge late against the other team's bullpens, now we're talking about a game that's more winnable, like you saw on Saturday night against Arizona, versus on Monday night in San Francisco, when it's something like 8-2, they score three runs and it makes it a little bit closer, but it's too late at that point. So the defense being the biggest thing, and then bullpen just needs to be, you know, a good amount sharper. But I'm putting it on the defense for right now as being the big one at the top of the bulletin board.
Yeah, that's fair. So you know, I heard you say, we're all thinking it too. It is a long season. Let's look forward to our next games. Once the Rockies come back to Coors Field, we have the Royals in town. And right now the Royals are, as of Wednesday, they are 9-18. They've lost 3 in a row. They are 2-8 over the last 10, and they're 3-9 on the road. So what are you guys thinking? I feel like this might be an opportunity for the Rockies to cleanse our palates of the road trip we just saw.
Yeah, they're better than the Cincinnati Reds right now, but you know, maybe not too much. Obviously, they've got a couple more wins than the Reds do right now, although the Reds did recently win a series against the Marlins, so got to give them that. But they haven't been playing too well against the Texas Rangers right now. I think the Rockies are going to end up seeing, you know, another lefty in Daniel Lynch, followed by Zach Greinke and Carlos Hernandez. So, you know, Greinke is the only one that you say, hey, if he's on his game, he can go ahead and dominate a little bit. You know, he's had some success at Coors Field in the past, you know, not a ton, but he is a veteran guy. I was looking at some of the Royal stats this morning, and I think Merrifield's batting under 150 you know, like not a lot of guys are doing things for the Royals right now. So, you know, when we started the Red series, we talked and said, all right, two out of three, they're definitely going to do that from the Reds. I think despite everything that we've seen in the last week, Rockies are a different club at home. So they're going to win two. Do they win three? Not as confident about that as I was when they were able to actually sweep the Reds a couple weeks back. So this will be Royals are coming to town at just the right time. They're coming back to Colorado probably for the first time in a while. I don't know, 5 years, and they're coming at the right time.
Yeah, I had the same note. I mean, if it's a get right series. So you look at the schedule and you breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Two, I think you're disappointed with less than two. I think you'd like to win this series for sure. Get back on the right track. The defense, runners in scoring position, just cluster those hits a little bit, you know, just take advantage of those opportunities as they come. But yeah, I'd love to see them get two out of three here. And I think they have a good opportunity to do so. So just thrilled that road trip's done.
And whether those are actual base hits or they're bunts, you have to cluster them. Hashtag cluster bunts.
Yes.
I think we found the name of our spinoff show.
There we go.
Cluster bunts. That's it. And you're right. And Brendan, you know what? They do need to play well against the Royals because Giants come to Coors Field next week, 4-3, and then the New York Mets, who are playing really, really good. So, you know, you have to take advantage of these kind of series when they come along.
And take a page out of the Giants book. I mean, they just did such a good job in that series of being productive with their outs as they came. And you want to help your starting pitchers, give them a little run support, make them don't feel like they have to be perfect here. I mean, it was like that outing for Cool. He had the strikeout magic to rescue himself, but you got the sense in that fourth and fifth inning, still without any runs, it just tightens up. Just tightens up. So even if you can just move guys over, just find a way to get one or two. But not quite as long droughts as they've had here. So pitchers can start being a little more aggressive, pitch with some confidence.
Hey, I hate to run here in the middle of a show, but my seagull that I'm boarding to fly back to Denver on is leaving right field. So I do need to get going here if I'm going to make that bad boy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is probably a great time for us to just wrap up in general, too. So, Patrick, thank you for joining us via satellite on your own show that you do not have the reins of today.
No, I don't. I like being a passenger, though. If my the two people in the front seat that are driving our co-pilot is Susie and Brendan, this isn't bad. This is comfortable back here.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us for the DNVR Rockies podcast.
We're coming home. They're coming home. Patrick.
Oh, wow. That really, I thought we were abruptly.